It's quadruple witching Friday on what could be a day of record volume as Tesla prepares to join the S&P 500, plus stimulus talks continue ahead of a looming government shutdown. And another eight states sue Google, the third such suit this quarter, what it means for the search giant. And finally, more details are emerging about the U.S. government hack. And the latest, now it's the Nuclear Weapons Agency as well. This is a Market Wake Up with Jared Blickery and Emily McCormick and Dan Howley. All right, let's get straight to it. We got a big day ahead of us, big volume day, that is, because we got the S&P 500 rebalancing after the close or at the close, along with the NASDAQ, along with the Russell 2000. And these days tend to be some of the biggest volume days of the year. And, oh, I forgot to mention, it's also quad witching. That means that not only do we have the regular monthly expiration plus weekly expiration of index options and stock options, but we also have the futures contracts for the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000, and the Dow. Those are all expiring today as well on the open. So lots of room to get in and out of positions. It'll probably be the biggest chance for any large players to really readjust their portfolios in the midst or the wake of all this volume without really disrupting the market. So this is kind of the last hurrah. After this, we generally see very, very little market activity going into the end of the year and for the first few days of January. So it's kind of D-Day in a number of respects because we also have a looming government shutdown. And tied to that is a stimulus bill, which we seem to be making incremental progress on, but could take the weekend. So Emily, I know you're watching all the stimulus news. What's the latest here?
Absolutely, Jared. So just looking at where things actually stand right now, congressional lawmakers are still trying to hash out a coronavirus relief package that would fall likely somewhere in the $900 billion range, and that would include some of the consensus measures on unemployment benefits and renewing some of those federal programs that had first been authorized in the earlier CARES Act back in the spring. But there are still some sticking points here. And as you mentioned, this bill is likely to be attached to the larger omnibus spending bill for the government through the end of this current fiscal year. So really the two are very closely tethered together. One will have to, or really that spending bill is going to need to pass in order to actually avoid a government shutdown. Looking like it's possible that a brief government shutdown or a partial government shutdown may happen over the weekend in absence of another stopgap bill that would essentially extend that deadline by another couple days or another week. So that is something that traders have been watching closely. And just looking at market action, though, we still saw actually the S&P 500, Dow, and NASDAQ hit record closing highs yesterday, even given this ongoing uncertainty, the stalemate that we continue to see in Washington. And actually, one of the reasons for that, what some analysts have been saying, was it's actually the worsening economic data that we've gotten out yesterday and earlier this week that seems to be making an increased case here for lawmakers to ensure that they get a robust virus relief package through by the end of the year. We saw, for example, jobless claims actually unexpectedly rose last week to 885,000. It was the highest level of new claims that we've seen since early September. And we have 14 million Americans claiming benefits on some of those pandemic crisis era unemployment programs that have been authorized again under the CARES Act and which are set to expire at the end of the month. And when we see data like that, or like the retail sales data that disappointed earlier this week, again, traders really are placing bets that it is going to increase the urgency here for these lawmakers to pass a bill. So that's really what they're placing their bets on here. And part of the reason that we saw the market hold up so strongly, even given what looks like on its face as rapidly deteriorating economic data in the near term.
I'm going to pick it up from here. Dan, I don't even want to know your thoughts on the stimulus because we've talked about it so much over the last week. I want to get straight to our next two stories because this is really your wheelhouse. First up is that we got another suit against Google. Parent company Alphabet, we track the stock every day, still sitting very close to record highs. But this is the third suit in 2 months. The latest one is by 8 states. We got Colorado, Iowa, New York, a few others, and it's all about antitrust. So what's going on here?
Yeah, this is the basically the, as you said, the third hack of Google. Lawsuit. Sorry, I'm thinking about future stuff. It's the third antitrust lawsuit against Google, and you know this comes as essentially you know regulators are cracking down on big tech. This particular suit was filed by 38 attorneys general. It's the follow-up kind of to the DOJ's original suit, which focused on the search capabilities that Google has and how it has exclusivity deals with certain vendors such as Apple, our parent company Verizon, and kind of makes sure that their search engine is used as the dominant search engine in those different types of devices and services. And that ensures Google's continued dominance. But I think one of the things that this suit also touches on beyond the scope of the original DOJ hit is that this talks about the way the search results are shown to consumers. So for instance, when you look at a search result at the top of the screen, say you're searching for plumbers is the example they used in the suit. Searching for plumbers at the top of the screen, you get reviews for a bunch of plumbers. Those are basically for Google properties. That's an ad. Below that, you're going to see traditional ads. They'll look like organic search results, but they really are ads. And generally they have the ad icon next to them, but you know, sometimes it's hard to tell. And then outside of that, there's a Google One box just below that. And that's where they have more Google ads and properties kind of pointing you in different directions. Above that, I think that there is, below that rather, that's where you'll see the regular organic links. And I think that's, you know, when you start to get the real results that you may have wanted. This is something that has been irking companies like Yelp, like Expedia for years. They've been complaining about this for some time. And now it looks like it's finally come to a head where the states are now pushing forward with this suit, saying that this is a violation of antitrust laws. We could see it wrapped up into the DOJ suit at some point, perhaps, because they do focus on similar aspects of Google when it comes to the actual search results. But, you know, really a big ongoing issue for the company. Now, Google, for its part, says that the moves that the government is taking and that state attorneys general are taking is basically a way for would result in if they wanted to see Google kind of taken down a notch and not have the kind of offerings that it has, would basically hurt Americans and small business owners. They said this lawsuit seeks to redesign search in ways that would deprive Americans of helpful information and hurt businesses' ability to connect directly with customers. They say they look forward to making their case in court. So, you know, this is going to be a continuing back and forth. Google also points out that they've been scrutinized. Their search results have been scrutinized before in different forms, either by the FTC, which is not a part of any of the suits for Google, or in different parts of the government, and I think, or different governments. And I think that that's going to be a case that they're going to have to argue. But they didn't touch on the kind of self-dealing that they're accused of as far as their search results go for advertising.
Definitely, Dan. And I think, you know, just to recap, we really are just seeing this rising tide of outrage, really, is a good way to describe it, among states and the federal government. And just this idea that big tech really is perhaps getting too big. And the coronavirus pandemic and the fact that these big tech names have been among the largest winners, you could say, during this period when we're staying at home. We've seen, you know, these companies' profits and revenue just absolutely balloon at a time when so many other companies have been hit, really has been at the center of some of these concerns as well. But just to recap the actual lawsuits that we now have against Google specifically, we have, of course, yesterday, Google sued by 38 state attorneys general and led by 8 states, including Colorado. We had Wednesday, Google sued by 10 attorneys general led by Texas. And just a couple months ago, We had the company sued by the Justice Department, along with 11 Republican state attorneys general. So again, just these mounting cases and complaints against the company, alleging monopolistic power and anti-competitive tactics in order to preserve this monopoly and this moat around the company. And I think what also struck me, particularly around the Justice Department's complaint, as well as the lawsuit that we saw Wednesday that had been led by Texas, was the fact that these cases also implicate other big tech companies. I mean, the Justice Department, for example, really focuses heavily on Google's agreements with Apple. As well, we should also mention, as our parent company, Verizon, in order to make Google Search that default search engine to users. And they said it was these sorts of agreements that actually were exclusionary and made it difficult for other competitors to actually come into the space. And then looking at the Texas-led case that we had on Wednesday, that actually included allegations that Google had reached a deal with Facebook to actually have that company back off from competing within the digital advertising market in the same way that Google actually is a player in the space. So I think all of these companies are going to be ones to watch. Of course, we have antitrust lawsuits against Facebook as well that are completely separate from this that will be ones to watch as well. But I think just seeing how entangled these companies have also become with one another from a legal standpoint, going through these complaints is going to be a really important area to continue monitoring.
Yeah, Emily, and I just want to touch on the Facebook case on its own. They're being sued by the FTC, which is amazing. The suit basically is asking Google, or they're seeking, along with a coalition of state attorneys general, to basically perform some kind of divestiture, whether that be completely breaking up Facebook and turning it into just WhatsApp, or sending WhatsApp on its own and Instagram on its own, having Facebook be its own kind of property. The irony here is that the FTC was the organization that allowed Facebook to purchase those companies in the first place. So how they're going to defend that in court will be incredibly interesting to see. I don't think we're going to get any resolution for these cases anytime soon. It's going to be several years. And, you know, look, we talk about this a lot, and, you know, the chance of them all being broken up, slim to none. But the real issue is, could this become a problem for them as far as distractions go, so that they can't focus on their own businesses and then they'll end up suffering as a result? And we saw that kind of happen with Microsoft during its own antitrust battles, and the fact that it missed out on the search engine and smartphone revolutions.
Yeah, and it's just interesting to reflect on that, because Microsoft was sued for antitrust by the government because of its browser dominance. Very, very ironic turn there. And just to add to the timeline discussion, this can stretch out for years. The FTC probe against Microsoft, that was made in 1990, didn't get sued until 1998, didn't resolve the entire matter until 2011. That's basically a span of 21, 22 years right there. So we'll continue monitoring that probably for the foreseeable future. I want to get to another important story that's developing, and that is the U.S. government hack by allegedly Russian sources here. And we're also getting some more information that also U.S. states were hacked, and maybe even the U.S. Nuclear Weapons Agency. Dan, talk to us about this.
Yeah, this is a continuation of the story that broke just last week, with FireEye coming forward and saying they were attacked by some kind of nation state. They didn't come out and say Russia explicitly, but then we heard about Treasury being hacked, and now we're hearing about, as well as a number of other agencies. The government has essentially come out and said that it was Russia. They're saying that it's a form of standard espionage, more or less, or at least that's what some of the reports are saying. Not necessarily seeking anything in particular, but just spying on U.S. operations. The more troubling thing, though, is now it's been revealed through Politico that the National Nuclear Security Administration and Energy Department were also hit in this hack. So they are the ones that safeguard the U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile. And it's really troubling to see something like that so thoroughly infiltrated. And just to give you an idea of what happened here, there was this company, SolarWinds. It's a network managing company. There was an update that was pushed. When the update was pushed, the Russian hackers, as we've come to, I guess, be told that they were, managed to slip in malicious code into that update. And so when the update went out and was put in, that's when these hacks started to take place. And, you know, there's been discussions about SolarWinds having poor password protection. I mean, that's, you know, just an egregious problem that, you know, you cannot overlook as far as cybersecurity goes, especially when you're talking about, you know, so many agencies. But it appears as though this is a systemic issue that we're going to continue to see. I mean, any as far as we're going to continue to use computers and networks of this kind, it's going to continue. And I think, you know, it's worth noting that, yes, as troubling these hacks are, and as often as we talk about Russia and China being part of these, as well as Iran, it is worth noting that the U.S. does its own kind of espionage in this kind of way as well. But, you know, when we talk about the nuclear weapons stockpile being at risk, it's a little hard to overlook.
Definitely, Dan. And I think what really struck me as concerning about many of these reports, and of course, this continues to be ongoing, and I'm sure we'll continue to get headlines and more developments on this in the coming days. But what really was concerning was that these malicious updates were actually sent, so it seems at this point, starting in March and around June. So essentially when the U.S. was in its initial wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, when government systems, you know, were just, of course, being overloaded with the fact that people were working from home, when cloud deployment and cloud software really had, that adoption of that had really been on the upswing here. I think it really speaks to some of the vulnerabilities that the U.S. government as well as private companies face as we are now in this new sort of trend towards working remotely, towards having distributed networks and workplaces. And it, again, really speaks to the fact that many of these companies are going to need to be prepared for very sophisticated attacks and ones of very large scale that could come to fruition in the future.
Yep. No easy way to downplay those kinds of risks, especially when we're talking about nuclear codes. Wow. All right. So we've been watching that. We're also watching the Google suit as that develops. And it's going to be a developing story probably for years, and also a huge volume day for the market. Not exactly expecting a lot of price movements necessarily, maybe in a few issues, maybe even Tesla as it gets ready to join the S&P 500 first thing Monday morning. This is a Market Wake Up. I'm Jared Blickery, along with Emily McCormick and Dan Holley. Have a great day.